Hallelujah. Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
It's still Easter. It's the sixth Sunday of Easter. We're still celebrating the surprise of Christ's resurrection, the conquering of the power of death that that represents, and the transformation made possible in our lives by what Jesus has done and is still doing as our resurrected Lord. But if all that is true, and we know that it is, then what's up with what Jesus says in today's gospel lesson? If you love me, you will keep my commandments, he says. Of course, we're taking things out of order now, aren't we? We're 5 full weeks after the resurrection on our calendars, and yet our readings have returned to the upper room before Jesus was arrested. In fact, our passage for today is a part of what we normally call Jesus' farewell discourse. It includes some of the last things that Jesus said to his disciples before they were heading out to the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus had told his disciples that he would be going away, so that that places his sayings in the context maybe of final instructions that a parent might give to their children as they're preparing to go on a trip. Be good now. Make sure you do everything we talked about. Be nice to one another and don't give your grandparents a hard time. The situation is far more serious, but that's essentially the flavor of what Jesus says. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. What do we hear when we listen to that phrase, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments? Commandments could be translated directives or mandates, but the point is that Jesus was making some pretty forceful statements. Follow my instructions would be a weak translation, by comparison. What do we hear? Preachers learn that what is said and what is heard are often two very different things. Do we hear, if you love me, you will obey me? Do we hear Jesus say, if you love me, you will memorize my commandments and know them backwards and forwards so you can win a Bible trivia game? Or maybe we hear something kinder and gentler like, if you think you love me, maybe you should try considering some of my suggestions. What do we hear? Some of us might hear the converse statement, if you do not keep my commandments, then I know you don't love me. That's kind of harsh. Jesus also says, they who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me. And those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them. There he is again. From our point of view, this might sound kind of strict or judgmental. It almost sounds like Jesus is saying, you have to keep my commandments or I'm not going to love you. And that kind of statement would be manipulative, offering only conditional love. Even angry parents who might feel like saying something like that probably would not go that far. I seriously doubt that God would go so far as to endure human life, death, and resurrection because he loves us, only to follow it up with a sobering condition like, I love you, but you better obey me or the deal is off. That would seem inconsistent. And really, it would suck the power right out of the resurrection that we're celebrating. It's not Lent anymore. We are celebrating. I think we need to hear the saying of Jesus in light of another very important thing Jesus tells his disciples almost in the very same breath. He says, he will not leave us orphaned. He says he will ask the Father, and the Father will send us another advocate. Another advocate. Meaning Jesus was already the first advocate. And he remains our advocate today, interceding for us in heaven. But God will give us another advocate to be with us forever. You mean we're not left on our own with just our limited knowledge of God, just our own experience of God, or what somebody else told us about God, will that change things? If you love me, you will keep my commandments. In the first letter of John, John says that if we claim to be one of Jesus' disciples, his follower, then we will walk as he walked. This is the same thing, right? We are disciples, which means we follow with discipline. But we have problems in this day and age with the whole idea of obedience. I suppose human beings have had that problem since the beginning of time. And we have problems with the whole idea of discipline, too. To us, being obedient means doing what you're told, even if you don't want to do it. Which is pretty negative, right? And being disciplined, in our minds, usually either means being scolded, or sticking with what we have to do, and avoiding things that we only want to do. It means we don't dare go off script, especially in an exercise program. I'm sure most of our minds will do that. Also pretty negative, right? Are these negative ideas the same as following? Not really. Walking as Jesus walked means walking with him, beside him, imitating him even. Following pretty closely. If you could picture yourself walking down a dirt road with Jesus, you would be close enough to him that your two lips touched each other as you walked. And you might even trip each other up if you weren't careful. God must have been listening pretty closely when Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. How can we possibly succeed at this? We always hear, his yoke is easy and his burden is light. But walk as he walked? That's a pretty tall order. I know a few of you up there are parents. And because I've been a parent, I also know that you have on many occasions thought, or perhaps even said to your kids, do what I say, not what I do. We are in touch with knowing what is right, but it seems we're also in touch with not necessarily doing what is right. We are in touch with our own hypocrisy, if you want to call it that. It's no secret. We know what to do, but we oftentimes don't do it. Even the Apostle Paul comes right out and says, the thing I know I should do, that is the thing that I don't do. And the thing that I know I should not do, that's what I end up doing. So we're in good company, if I think that way. We are weak and fickle and self-serving beings, and we know it. Jesus never said, do what I say, not what I do. He never even had to think, as far as we know. With Jesus, it was and still is, do what I do. What I do is what I say, is what I do. Watch me. Keep track of what I say and what I do, and you won't find contradictions. Jesus can say this, but it certainly is not something you or I can safely say about ourselves. Children often tell their parents they love them. I love you, Daddy. I love you, Mommy. As parents, we love to hear that. But we all know, parents and children alike, that the very same kids that say, I love you, and mean it genuinely, will turn around at different circumstances and do something that they know their parents would not like at all. Perhaps even something they've been warned against. When it was supper time, how often did we pick up our toys without questioning, without arm twisting, without arguing or coercion? It sounds simple. God is our loving parent. Our Heavenly Father sits on a heavenly back step, and we love to tell him that we love him. We throw the right words around so that we sound like loving, obedient children. And that's what we want to be. But our words, they're hollow a lot of the time. It's not that we don't mean what we say. It's just that we're not very good at hollow words. We want to have our cake and eat it too. We want to be able to say we love God and still get away with doing whatever we want. In fact, we want to get credit for doing what is right without really doing it. We want to think that having a feeling is enough. That love is a feeling, and that love doesn't have to be connected to action or obedience. The good news is that Jesus knows this about us. So he makes sure that we're hooked up with the same Spirit that empowered him to be God in flesh. I will ask the Father, he says, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him because he abides with you and he will be in you. This other advocate is the Holy Spirit. Jesus tells us to continue in his teachings, to love God and to love one another, but these things are hard. They don't sound hard, but they're hard. We need help. We need a helper. The word that is translated advocate in our Bible can be translated other ways too. The word is paraclete, or paraclete, and it means several things at once. Literally, it means a companion that is thrown down alongside us to accompany us, like we're tied together in a three-legged race at a summer picnic. The word also means comforter. King James translates it this way. The Spirit goes with us and gives us the strength and comfort we need to face the challenges of life. When our son Dan was a toddler, he clutched a Hot Wheels car tightly in each hand, everywhere he went. It was like his security blanket. You might say the Holy Spirit is our Hot Wheels cars. And one way the Spirit does this is as an advocate. An advocate is an additional voice, literally, that stands up for you when your own voice is not enough. Paul tells us in Romans that the Spirit intercedes for us when we do not know how to pray, with groanings that cannot be described by a human being. Having an advocate can give us the courage to do and say things we know to be right and good when we might not be inclined to do or to say them at all. If for no other reason than we are afraid. Another meaning of the word is helper. Helper seems self-explanatory, but it's also connected to meanings of the word paraclete that are a little more affectionate, like friend and companion. The Spirit helps us in all that we do in the name of Christ, and does it as a friend, because the Spirit is a friend. A friend that walks beside us, that walks within us, that even walks for us. Holy Spirit is a close companion that has our best interests at heart. The Spirit lifts us up when we are weak, sits in the foxhole with us, and shares our P rations or MREs. In Spanish, companion means one who shares bread with us. The Spirit not only shares the common bread of the life of Christ with us, but the Spirit makes us to be that bread that is shared. This is what we pray every time we celebrate Eucharist. Come, Holy Spirit, make us to be this bread. No one knows how this works better than a soldier who lives and often dies for a friend that walks and fights a common enemy beside her or him. We fight a common enemy. That's why we need a paraclete. Finally, paraclete can be translated counselor. John tells us, now that we have the Spirit, we no longer need to be taught, at least not to be taught certain things, because the Spirit will teach us and lead us into all wisdom. Of course, this presumes a few other things, like surrounding ourselves with like companions who are also walking the paraclete, and by filling ourselves with the Word of God, so that the paraclete has some raw material to work with, and we do need. Love me, you will keep my commandments. This is not a harsh charge that Jesus lays on us, not some impossible task, like trying to save ourselves by our own works. And we're not doomed to fail, because God also gives us the Holy Spirit, who helps us to become who we are meant to be. When Jesus says, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments," he is assuming something. And that something is that you are in him. You're not outside of him, responding to him like your own children respond to you. You are in him, sitting on the porch with him, actually inside his body, watching yourself play just as he is. And if we are in him, a part of him, then naturally it's a given that we love him, because he first loves us and incorporates us into himself and into his resurrection. Jesus is not placing a condition on his love. He is simply saying that naturally, since we are in him, of course we will keep this command, which is love God, love each other, love those outside the sphere of love, and bring them in. If God is for us, who can be against us? Paul asks. None of us want our children to fail. We are God's children, and he gives us the paraclete to help us. The Spirit of God is not an attitude, but a person. A person who helps us understand God's ways. When we are in Christ, we can speak God's own words as our words, to our own ears. We can walk as he walked, because he got the dust of our lives all over himself. Father looks at us, he sees you.